This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
What's up, everybody? This is this week's Ticket City Podcast. It's game week. Jeff Ketchum joined today by the entire Orange Bloods ensemble, Alex Anwar, Dustin, and Jason. It is game week. We wouldn't be so bold as to assume that a game will actually be played on Saturday until the players are out on the field. And as we learned during the basketball season, just because they're warming up on a court doesn't mean that a game will actually be played. But fellas, it is game week. Real quick, before we jump into UTEP and Jake Smith's hamstring and Brennan Eagles and all the things that we can chit-chat about going into Saturday's game, this will be the last Ticket City podcast in this name for a while. Talked to Zach Anderson at Ticket City today, and there's just no getting away from the fact that they don't have a product to sell. And so there's a pause on the Ticket City podcast, at least as it's named, until the world of tickets ends up being a little better. We had hoped that we would be in a place where by the start of football season, it might be closer to business as usual, but it's not. And, you know, we want to look out after our partners as much as we want them to look out for us. And, you know, as things currently stand, Zach Anderson and the guys over at Ticket City just didn't feel they just didn't feel right about not being able to have both ends of the relationship churning at the same time. So we will, once they're back in full scale or fuller scale operation, we'll be back in partnership. But for now, we will make this the last great Ticket City podcast for a while. Fellas, as we point ahead towards Saturday, Anwar, I'll start with you. If I could give you a camera and have it pointed on one player or one person in the context of Texas and UTEP, who are you most interested in? Who would you like to have a spotlight on Saturday so that you can watch every move?
Oh, my gosh. Just one?
Yeah, I want to hear your top guy.
That sucks.
It doesn't have to suck.
Well, because there's so many I want to see. But
you can name drop.
For the sake of the conversation, not to slow down the podcast, I'll just go Bijan Robinson. I'll go the easy route. Tariq. The other ones I was considering were Tariq and Christian Jones. Just so you know, so those are the three that were in my head. But I'll go Bijan just because. I mean, at the end of the day, Ketch, I mean, you write a lot about five stars and impacts and what that means. And, at the end of the day, he's a five-star running back at the University of Texas. And they say all these guys are going to play. And so I'm just kind of interested. You know, Dustin and I talked about that on my podcast yesterday. And I'm just really interested when he finally comes in, especially, let's assuming that it's somewhere in the second half. And he's getting meaningful carries. Like, what does he do? Does he break a long run? Like, does he just look the part? I mean, this is a game you would think a five-star running back comes in. It just dominates in some sort of fashion. When you talk about UTEP, I'll read Jason's breakdown of his matchup. Probably never. But yeah,
I was going to say, don't bother. It's nice of you to say, though.
No, yeah, that was just, I'll never read it. But yeah, probably Bijan for me.
Jason, it's interesting. Anwar's answer reminds me of, it's hard not to think about Cedric Benson and the roar in the stadium that night, the anticipation. One of the things we will miss on Saturday is that if there were 100,000 people in the stands, Anwar's Bijan Robinson answer would be a real fascinating subplot just in terms of the Texas crowd. You know, Texas has a thing about running backs. So the first time he would come onto the field, we've seen it before, there would be a gasp. There would be a murmur. There would be an anticipation that you would be, felt in the stadium. And one of the few things that we won't have by not having fans in the stand, which again, hasn't really been much on where I talked about this on Monday, hasn't been that big of a topic, this notion that there won't be people. We're used to that now as American sports fans, this notion of sports being played without a crowd, but not having that moment, I do feel like we'll lose something there. Like, that would have been a cool moment, Bijan running onto the field for the first time. The band's not going to be there. There's not going to be a massive crowd. It won't quite be the same thing.
No, it won't. But you're right. We're kind of used to it. But I also, and I think maybe I said this last week or the week before, I don't think – I mean, there's a natural comparison with Bijan when he first takes the field to Sed Benson, but I don't know that Bijan – as good as he is, and I mean, listen, arguably the top running back in the country last year, I don't know that he's quite as ballyhooed among the Texas fan base as Benson was. This is a guy coming from the state of Texas. No, so I don't think it would have had that same buzz. I mean, when Benson took the field, I mean, that crowd just – I'd have to go back and look at it. Just kind of erupted. And you're right, there was just like an energy when he took the field. And
it was in the fourth quarter of a blowout game.
Yeah.
and that was like the most exciting part of the game.
Didn't he perform pretty well when he got out there? I don't even remember. But
yeah, he went like 12 for 97 and a touchdown or something like that.
Yeah, it makes me want to YouTube and try to find it. But, yeah, but it wouldn't have been as electric. But it is, you know, it is going to take away from that as well as other elements of the game. But I'm just so damn excited to have some
football.
Who's
your guy? Who's your guy?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you asked the question, I mean, Bijan went on where I said, I was like, oh, of course. But the first guy that popped in my head was actually one of the other guys Anwar mentioned was Christian Jones. I'm really curious and, you know, anxious, excited to see what he can do. We've kind of heard a quiet buzz about him for the better part of a year. Now we're going to really get to see it in a starting capacity. And I think, it, you know, if he can kind of, if he can play well, that's going to really help the team for this year, obviously. But Texas needs Christian Jones to be what they think he can be for next year and beyond, because there's not a lot of depth on this line. They need some of these young guys to step up, and he'd be one of them. So he was the first name that popped into my head, not the most sexy option. I get it to ice, unless you're Alex, to ISO on an offensive lineman necessarily. But I'm really anxious to see and curious to see how Christian Jones holds up this week in his first start.
Alex, if I take Christian, you can say Christian Jones would be my number one guy if he is your number one guy. But I'm making you take officially someone else. Well, you don't have to. Who's your guy?
Well, it would have been Christian Jones. But
you can outline if there's something else.
I'll get to watch. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why. But, I mean, I'll watch every snap that he plays when I do the deep dig. So – I don't really need to focus in on any of these guys. I'll focus in on them when I do the work. But it's a tough question, Ketch.
Who do you want to see?
Well, I want to see Overshown.
There you go.
I want to see Overshown. It looks like he's going to be a starter on the. Looks like he's going to be a starter. Is this right? This can't be right. Is he wearing 02? Is he going to wear the? Is he wearing the number 0? I'm looking at the depth chart. He's got a 0 next to him.
I don't think he is. I know there are pictures from like their photo shoots. He was wearing the same number as last year. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, it's got Kabinda right below him wearing 33. It's got Jalen Ford right below him wearing 41. I've seen pictures of both those guys for practice wearing those numbers.
So he's got a 0
wearing
next.
6.
Could just be a typo. Could have been.
It's probably
as someone who constantly does copy and paste. And sometimes forgets to, like, edit the part that he copied and pasted completely. Could have just been, like, that's what they did. He copied and pasted from, you know, I don't know. That'd be cool.
I'll be interested to see.
Has there ever been a linebacker?
He's listed on the roster as number 0. Him and Trey Black are number 0 on the official roster.
Huh. That must have been a recent change.
Wild-looking linebacker.
Yeah. I mean, assuming that's correct, I'm looking at their
online. I like it. It's kind of gangster.
And then besides him, I mean, obviously, I don't know if I'm allowed to say a few, but the other guys I really want to see, it looks like Jake Smith's going to be out of this game, so we should get an extended look at Jordan Whittington. They say that he's been healthy. I don't know. Anwar could know more, but the buzz is he's been healthy for the last couple of weeks and been actually looking pretty good. So maybe we get
some extended look at him. I wouldn't want too long a look at him in a game versus UTEP. I hope they don't have to use him too much. Maybe they'll get that schooler, the walk-on, or not the walk-on, but the transfer kid in there for some reps at the slot. After they can get Whittington out and maybe get him on some ice and some bubble wrap early, and then just Moro Ojomo over the defensive end. I just want to see how his body looks, how he, you know, I've heard from behind the scenes at practice that he looks good bending the edge, that he actually looks violent off of the edge, even though he lacks a little bit of the optimal length that you would like there from that spot. I'd like to see with my own two eyes, and excited to get a look at him as well.
Mr. McComas, now's your moment. The floor
yeah,
is yours.
Yeah, Alex took my A, B, and C, and maybe D, too.
Sorry.
Overshown
like
would have been
the fantasy draft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm picking in the back, and all my guys are gone. Overshown would have been my guy, but and Ojomo would have been up there as well. Alfred Collins, you know, is a guy that's, you know, created a little bit of buzz throughout camp. Maybe not a little bit, probably a lot. You know, I know sometimes we kind of gravitate towards those new freshmen, those new shiny toys we see out there for the first time, but this is a defensive line that needs some impact from those young guys. So this should be an opportunity too, where you look up in the third quarter and Texas should have a huge lead on the scoreboard and an opportunity to really get some of those young guys in there and get some snaps. So for me, Alfred Collins, I mean, I think that if this defense is going to take that huge leap forward, it needs a guy like that to provide something off the edge in that defense.
He's going to be fun. I think he may take one of your other guys' jobs before it's all said and done, Dustin.
Not Taquan. Oh no.
I mean, I wonder. There's, you know, the thing about this team, the one of the constant themes is that it feels like they got like 20 guys that everybody's anticipating taking a forward step, all at the same time. And that defensive line is like the king of that area, whether you're talking about Moro Ojomo or you're talking about Taquan Graham or even Keandre Coburn to a certain extent, right? Even Joseph Osai, who only had one sack, although, you know, that's about usage and the way they used him specifically as much as like his pass rush abilities. But he's never been asked to be a double-digit sack guy before, and now that's what be asked of him. I think when it's all said and done, one of these guys on that defensive line is not going to take the step. And I think Alfred Collins will take that job. It could be a couple of guys though. I could see Moro Ojomo. I could see, you know what I mean? Like I need to see some guys step up, and I think Alfred Collins' talent is eventually going to get his butt on the field, and somebody's not going to take the step the way they need to. Anyway, my guy, Whittington. And I'll segue. I wanted to kind of take the conversation here to a little bit. My next question will be, what, if any, concerns on Saturday do you have? And Whittington is my guy because I'm kind of concerned about the offense a little bit and the defense, honestly. But Tom Herman's not happy with his wide receiver position. Like, I think that's fair based on the fact that on Monday, when asked to name the receivers that excite him, he named three guys: Tariq Black, Jake Smith, Jordan Whittington. Now one of those guys isn't playing on Saturday. Brennan Eagles is in a doghouse. Didn't even get his name mentioned on Monday. Instead, Herman mentioned Troy O'Meary as he was like, he stopped for a moment and was like, this is a good question. Who do I like at receiver? And then he proceeded to name no other players that are actually going to play on Saturday. Felt like a total Bill Parcells sending a message through the media type moment. It wouldn't be the first time I think Herman's applied that type of pressure before. But now Smith is out, and in comes Whittington. So to me, wouldn't be a shock if we see Texas run out first play of the game and they're running their 12 personnel, two tight ends, Black and Whittington on the I don't know. And then I wonder how much they stay in 12 personnel, and I wonder what the offense looks like. I wonder, we've talked so much about the offense being 15th or 14th or 13th in the country a year ago, 17th, whatever the hell they were, and how, you know, Herman feels like they should be taking that next step from really good to great maybe, and that the new coordinator should be able to make that happen. I just wonder what the offense looks like on Saturday when you've got a new right side of the offensive line trying to break its way in, and you've got an offense that might not be – I mean, Alex, you tell me. If they're running 12 personnel, I don't even – let's just say a heavy percentage of the time. Like, I don't know
– if they're running what personnel?
If they're playing – they got two tight ends on the field a lot on Saturday.
All right.
I mean, just my feeling is it makes them a slow – we've heard about tempo. We've heard about all this other stuff. It just feels like they'll be more – they'll be a little slower with two tight ends on the field. It doesn't mean that they'll be less effective necessarily, but, you know, I don't know that suddenly we're going to see an offense that passes for 350 or 400. You know what I mean? Like, there's a part of me that wanted to see them against UTEP with Sam coming back and the receivers and – a better line and these running backs. Like, I want to see them drop 50 on UTEP and big plays and, you know, like, really, let's see some Star Wars type stuff. And there's a part of me that wonders if Saturday's offense might not look a little more methodical. It might not be something that would bother Tom Herman at all, but I think there's an expectation from the fans that they come out and it look impressive on the offensive side of the ball, that there be a lot of big plays. I wonder who the big playmakers are outside of the running back position. If Jake Smith is out of the equation and Tom Herman's left with two receivers that he's really excited about, I don't know. Like, I'm not telling you I'm saying this is going to happen. I'm just saying in my mind this week, I've just started to think about the offense and wonder if it might take them a little more time to build up a head of steam than we might have assumed, where it would be add water, instant badass offense.
Well, it makes sense what you're saying. There's a couple of things I have to say about that. One is that I know we can't draw draw a direct line between this, but I've been thinking a lot about this week when I've been doing my fantasy projections for week one. And, you know, or offense is going to be better, or defense, like, who's going to have the edge? Who's going to, you know, in an off season like this. And I know it's, like we said, we can't draw a direct line between college and pro, but we can kind of say the two are similar. Both have had really messed up off seasons. They've had really truncated preseasons and stuff. And last time we saw something like this in the NFL was that strike shortened season. For the last CBA, was that 2010, 2011? I forget which one it was. I looked back at it, though, and at the beginning of that season, it was the defenses that were reeling and having trouble keeping up with the offenses. I don't know if that'll be the case with college football, or if, you know.
Well, can I ask you a quick question, Alex?
Yeah.
To your point, what do you think we see tonight with the Texans and the Chiefs? Like, is it 45-35, or, like, I've been wondering the same thing that you're asking. Like, what kind of football are we about to see when there's been no preseason, the tackling has been limited, and obviously college football, you know, there's been some squirrely games, I think, but we haven't seen any real big-time teams play, so it's hard to say.
There are just some matchups to really, really exploit in this game tonight, especially on the Chiefs side with the Texans. That's a pretty bad defense. It's a bad secondary. It's a slow secondary. So, you know, with the weapons that the Chiefs have, I feel like, you know, there's going to be offense on their side. And also, if you look at what the Texans have done and who they've added players, you know, like a guy like a David Johnson, I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs allowed the third most receptions to opposing running backs last year. Now, they didn't allow as many, you know, as many yards. They were good at they were good at hemming those things in because they have good safety play from guys like Tyrann Mathieu, et cetera. So I think that there's going to be opportunity for offense. I think that game probably goes over. I could be totally wrong.
But I put that on a T for you, didn't I? Like, all I wanted to hear you say was, like, offense or defense, and I just put it on a T. Nice job, Babe Ruth.
But back to the Longhorns. I'm not necessarily sure that I'm going to buy them in a game versus a team like UTEP. And admittedly, I have not gone and done any scouting of UTEP. I've just taken everybody at their word, taken Jason.
You better read those matchups, Buster.
At their word, you know, this is a team that is Texas should kick their ass. But Texas goes to this heavy personnel, this 12 personnel. I mean, under Herman, you could put you. It's like clockwork. It's against TCU. It's against. It's against. You know who's really. It's against Kansas State. It's against Oklahoma. Sometimes it's against Iowa State. I'm just not sure that UTEP fits the bill for a team that he's going to get. An inline tight end and a sort of H-back sniffer in there at the same time.
Say that because Onwar reported last night that
I feel what you're saying.
You're saying the matchups don't dictate that they typically move to that personnel group heavily.
Yeah. I would just like to see it, you know, So that's what I'm saying. I'm not, I always trust Onwar's reporting, you know, but it'll be interesting to see if they do have a bunch of 12 personnel in this game. If that's the case, I think that probably the sort of breakout we would maybe see would be Tariq Black, you know, playing on the outside. He's clearly been thriving over there. If, you know, he's kept Brennan Eagles in the doghouse and we've heard all the talk about him. He's certainly a pure X wide receiver that can thrive specifically on the outside. So maybe we could look at a big game coming from him, but look, I'm going to, For this team to go, you know, heavy 12 personnel, it would be, it would have to be just as a function of what is dealing with at the wide receiver position, not necessarily something that I would think that they would do by choice, unless that's just something that Yurcich has been super interested in, which by my study on Yurcich coming into this during his time at Oklahoma State certainly wasn't the case. So that would be an interesting twist.
Let me just interject real quick. You know, when I was, doing some digging, obviously, on this thing, and this may be something that you guys, Alex, this may be something that you want to look into or catch or something like that. But when they did some research on the 12 personnel, one of the things that was pointed out to me was the Oklahoma team from a couple of years ago, I think maybe the 2017 team, that had Mark Andrews and Dimitri Flowers. Their research says that that Oklahoma was in the 12 personnel 90% of the time. They said you just didn't notice it because the offense was so proficient and because Mark Andrews was such a good pass catcher. But, you know, they said Flowers and Andrews are on the field 90% of the time during that season. And so they say that the perception is, you know, a slow, methodical type of offense, but Oklahoma ran the same exact thing and had, you know, great results. So that's their, you know, the vision inside the building, my favorite saying, but that's the vision of inside the building is being able to be like that kind of effective because they feel like they have tight ends that are just as effective. Remember, he said Jared Wallace is a future NFL player. So they feel like they have tight ends that could be just as effective as Andrews was at Oklahoma.
Well, that sounds like more of a Jay Boulware influence than it does a Yurcich influence, right? I mean, that guy.
Well, I mean,
get that guy talking, and the first thing that'll come out of his mouth is Flowers. You know, I mean, I've interviewed the guy once, and Dimitri Flowers probably came up twice. So it's like, that's an interesting takeaway for sure.
Yeah, well, that's just so you know the genesis of it.
Onwar, I heard, you know, it's funny. When I read your report yesterday, I immediately thought back to Herman's answer about Kerstetter playing at center, right? I mean, sometimes we think about these things so multidimensionally that we overthink them. And you ask, well, when Herman's asked, what advantage of having Kerstetter at center made you move him away from tackle? And like, what gains or marginal advantages do you think that allows you to have? And he's like, well, you know, Christian Jones is one of our five best players on the line. And the only way we can get him on the field is if Kerstetter plays center. So like, that's it. And I read that report yesterday and I thought, well, he's told us that he only likes two other healthy receivers at this point. We know he likes his tight ends. Them going to 12 personnel could just be as simple as they like their second tight end right now more than they like their third wide receiver, right? So who do they trust? Who do they want to have on the field? It just might be that position group right now they're more comfortable with than the receiving group that Herman clearly isn't completely happy with. And, you know, it seems like they're being pretty honest with this in terms of if they go to 12 personnel, like Herman's whole beef with his receiving room right now would seem to be on point with like the direction that the offense goes in. And we know that they like their tight ends. The question would be that Oklahoma offense had some badass tight ends on it, right? Like Mark Andrews went high in our fantasy draft. He's good. He scored a lot of touchdowns last year. Like you said, Jared Wiley's a guy they think is going to play on Sundays. That's just a position that, you know, if Cade Brewer and Jared Wiley, let's say as a duo, play a lot on Saturday and the passing game is going heavily through that position group the way that it also did at Oklahoma, then that's a distinctly new twist on this offense that we won't have completely seen from a year ago. Because even when they went to the usage of that personnel, the volume in terms of the way that it flowed the offense through that position. You know, we always look at them going through 12 personnel as Jesus Christ, they've got a tight end split out wide that's useless out there. Like they're not wanting to change the personnel. They don't want the defense to substitute. So they're playing with 10 men on this, but they're asking the defense to stay with what they have. Now they're telling us that we're keeping it on out there, not necessarily to keep the defense. We get that too, but they're telling us that on war, right? That like the offense doesn't have to be less just because there's more tight ends on the field. And I think that that's something that Texas fans have been arguing about for seasons now since Herman has been here. I think it's interesting as this season starts, they may actually do more of that thing that Texas fans have been hoping they do less of. And Herman, I think, would argue till he's blue in the face that it's the right move to make.
Well, they like, I mean, like you said, they love these guys. Like, when you think about the position groups that have been praised the most in the offseason, or especially just narrowed down to training camp, but really the offseason, that the tight end group, you know, back to again my interview with Herman back in April. I mean, starting from there until now, yesterday with Yurcich, they love these guys. And you just talked about Cade Brewer being extremely intelligent and being so smart where he doesn't need a lot of reps in order to get something down. So he's like, they're able to do and implement a lot of things because of how good Cade Brewer is. And then he talked about Jared Wiley's ability to play with his hands in the ground, and Malcolm X is kind of a flexible guy. And then, you know, you looked at, you know, Librock, and they said like they have the attributes of both. And, you know, I think I reported on, you know, multiple occasions in scrimmages that they were, you know, running a lot of heavy 12 personnel. Like, I think we have to wrap our minds around, like, hey, this shit's happening. It's happening. Like, they're not shying away from it. There hasn't been anything that has shown us that this is not a personnel group that they seem to like, that they seem to believe gives them some sort of advantage. And, you know, I'll take a fresh set of eyes on this, Ketch. If Yurcich, with his fresh set of eyes, says, I like what we got from these tight ends. If, you know, to Alex's point, if Boulware says, look, this is what we ran at Oklahoma, and this is why it was so successful. And now you're talking about, too, the one thing they're doing a lot of, Ketch, is tempo. We keep hearing about tempo, 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 and how fast that they go. And, you know, I've heard defensive players talk about how frustrating it is going against the offense in practice. And we always hear practice reports, so you got to take those things with a grain of salt. But you keep hearing about how good this tempo is. Well, if these tight ends are able to keep up with that tempo.
Dustin Onwar makes a really good point. I mean, these new coaches are showing up and they're looking at what they have. And, you know, this Onwar's right. This has been reported. This isn't a new development. We've been talking about the usage of this personnel and scrimmages. But again, it is a thing that Texas fans have not wanted to see. So walk me through what your expectations are for Saturday in terms of if you know in advance that, let's just say, very heavy amount of the personnel usage that we see on Saturday is this personnel grouping. What do you think the Texas offense, because that is not the offense necessarily that we saw a year ago. It's just not.
Yeah, and to Onmore's point, you know, I think it was the first scrimmage a few weeks ago where I think that they had some receivers that were kind of held out or some guys that weren't quite active or they just whatever. And we had heard that this is what they went to. So they clearly feel very comfortable about that position group and about that personnel usage. You know, you'd think that they would probably try to lean on the running game just with those kind of more bigger bodies in there. But you got to think, too, that there's a lot of athleticism and a lot of pass-catching ability with this tight end group. A guy like Lee Brock is, you know, definitely more of a pass-catching threat kind of guy than you're going to sit on the offensive line and have him block all the time. And, you know, Wiley can do both. Epps potentially maybe, you know, this is a guy that played receiver last season. Cade Brewer obviously has a pass catching skill as well. So I would think that, you know, some people might look at it and say, oh, you know, they might just, you know, put a couple guys on the offensive line just try to really run the ball the whole time. But they've got a unique group of tight ends that could really kind of, you know, can move those guys around the formation some, kind of line them up differently and things like that. So they clearly feel comfortable with this group. You know, I would think they'd probably involve the running back some in the pass catching game a little bit more as well, and then kind of get those guys going downhill running the football too, and maybe take some more play action shots down the field, really trying to stretch the field vertically. But they clearly feel confident and comfortable with these tight ends that they can just kind of keep running their offense as they'd like to, even if they're not going to have as many receivers on the field.
Sam Ehlinger to Jared Wiley, like 40 yards down the seam, would be a fun little thing to see. Dustin, give me something you're apprehensive about, nervous about, alarmed about with this Texas team, if anything, going into this game, just a trouble area, potentially.
Yeah, well, I think we will eventually see that second offensive line in there at some point in this game, and probably as early as the third quarter or something like that. But also, too, I guess I'm a little anxious about this secondary because I feel like we haven't heard a ton about the secondary. You know, I think we've heard Deshaun Jameson a lot, at least I have. I think you've heard some whispers about other guys as well. Josh Thompson was the guy early in the camp that I heard about. But, like, you haven't really heard a ton about, oh, my gosh, like, these guys are just completely dominant. And, you know, it's just a loaded group, whereas that's – you look at their talent, that's kind of what you think you'd be hearing heading into the season, that these guys have just been, you know, fantastic. And maybe they have, you know, it's, you know, practices, they keep the information tight and everything like that. But I'm a little anxious to see what that secondary looks like, because I really feel like that's got to be a strength for Texas, and especially with the way I think Chris Ash wants to play defense with those guys coverage wise. And I guess, you know, a little surprised that, you know, BJ Foster, not like a guy that's totally grabbed a starting role. And, you know, Caden Stearns obviously is Caden Stearns, but he's coming off of a very much an up and down sophomore season. It just kind of feels like the group right now is Deshaun Jameson, and then everybody else is kind of trying to, you know, emerge into that tier as somebody that can, you know, Texas can really count on as a standout defensive back. So not necessarily a big concern for me, but I'm a little anxious to see what those guys look like, because the Texas defense, if it's going to take a big step forward, it's got to have that secondary really perform at a high level and really tap into that talent and that depth that it has there.
Anybody else want to jump in? Anybody else got any concerns, any thoughts on that secondary?
I don't really have any concerns with this game. I mean, honestly, I think Texas could probably roll out their third string across the board and probably win this game or have a good chance. I am curious, and Dustin touched on it, it kind of rolls into what he said, not just even the second string O-line, you know, a little bit the first string O-line. They were a little bit up and down, it seems like, this in fall camp. And, you know, this is the kind of game – we've seen it before. I mean, the offensive line, there's no reason they should not dominate – the UTEP front seven. I mean, Texas should be able to run the ball for 250 yards in this game if they want to. We've seen that before. We had those expectations, and they came out and we're like, man, they really struggled to run the ball against Rice or some of these teams a little bit. And it seemed to be a precursor for bigger issues later in the season. So I'll be just kind of curious to see, I guess you could kind of say on both sides of the ball, really. I mean, if Texas can just dominate the line of scrimmage, especially on offense. I mean, this is going to have to be a team that's going to have to, you know, run the ball well. That's not to say they can't throw the ball well, but you know, to be competitive, you're always going to have to be able to run the ball well to compete for championships. I want to see Texas come out Saturday night, dominate the line of scrimmage on offense and on defense too. But, you know, I don't want to come out of this game thinking, okay, they averaged, you know, 4 yards a carry. They ran for 140 yards as a team, and that's okay. It's week one. You know, they'll get better. We've fallen into that trap before. You know, this is a team. They need to just come out and be able to dominate up front. So, you know, along with the second team line, Dustin, I'm kind of equally curious to see how that first team line performs.
Anwar, what about you? We've all so far, I feel like there are three different areas of concern that have been mentioned as just areas to watch. What do you have circled as a
By the way, hopefully I'm back in, and I looked on the board and I just saw someone bump that she hooked some thread yesterday. Oh, I guess yeah. I must have missed that. Oh my gosh. I just feel bad for those guys in the photo because they just never will be able to live that down. My concerns,
you know, there's some guys on the board that claim to have carnal knowledge of her.
Well,
like, what do you do how big of a trophy is that in the context of some dudes trophy? Got taken for money yeah, and tried to see her feet? Like, are you a champion at that point?
You mean Scarlet Letter?
I don't know. I don't think
a trophy, man.
I bet those dudes that got taken for some cash.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. you got took for the cash and you didn't get that thing in return, which was the only reason you were spending the cash. Like, yeah, you're feeling some type of way. I'm sorry. I derailed it. It's my fault. Let me bring it back.
We needed to have one good derailing in the podcast. Yeah, and yeah, thank you for that.
They were looking for a different kind of railing.
Dustin! Come on,
man. Deep railing, Dustin, not derailing.
Come on! Thank you, Anwar. Thank you. You got McComas of all people to channel his inner Adam Sandler. Nice job.
Wow.
I'll go on mute.
I don't really have a concern, honestly, from like a position group standpoint per se, Ketch. My only concern is, you know, one of the things we'll get touched on a little bit in the war room on Thursday night is, you know, in years past, you have three non-conference games before you get into your conference play. And so you really, if all things had been equal, Texas would have had USF to open up the season with, had a chance to work out some kinks. You go on the road to LSU. That's obviously high pressure, a high stakes game. And then you can, kind of correct everything against UTEP. And then you go into conference play. You know, this year you got one. Like, that's it. I mean, you pretty much have got one game to kind of work on everything. And then in 2 weeks, you got to play on the road at Tech. So, you know, for me, it's just going to be interesting to see what these guys get accomplished, you know, from a big picture perspective, more so than like the individual position things. I just want to kind of see what they get done in the time frame that they're going to have guys out there, because the thing I'll have in the war room is that they're not planning to have guys out there long. They're not planning to have starters out there long. And, you know, my thought process would have been, all right, play them as much as possible. But, you know, starters will probably be pulled, you know, after the first series in the third quarter. Maybe that's enough. Maybe that's all they need. Maybe that's all the teaching moments that Chris Ash needs. Maybe that's all the teaching moments that yours is going to need. But just for me, just kind of a big picture, what are these guys able to accomplish? Like, if you're talking about a concern, is two quarters against UTEP, is that all this program needs for Texas Tech in 2 weeks in conference play? I think that's probably my thought process.
I think that's a great point, Anwar. And I think it dovetails into this kind of thing that I'm asking, which is, you know, the offense got to – in order for them to do what you're saying they want to do, like, there's a cohesiveness and a crispness to the proceedings that will need to take place in order to pull your starters early in the third quarter. I mean, you have to have kicked their ass thoroughly before that. You know, I just wonder because it's an opening game, and I once saw NC State, what, back in 1999, beat Texas in a game that was referenced this week. Who asked Tom Herman about the 99 game against NC State? Because Herman, the question, I think it might have been Brian Davis. It was asked in a nice way. Herman gave him this, are you really going to ask me about my role in the special teams on a day when three kicks were blocked? But, like, crazy things can happen in openers, as I believe it was Brian Davis pointed out to Tom Herman earlier this week. I just feel like, Anwar, that there's a they must be confident about this group, that they're going to get their first two quarters of game action this season, and they feel good enough, even without any other games having been played, that in and out, lickety-split, do your business, in comes Casey Thompson and the rest of the crew in the third quarter. It's a projected quiet confidence.
It says a lot, right? I mean, yeah. Because I mean, like I said, like you're basically saying we're going to get in, we're in, we're out, and that's it. And again, like I said, in theory, you would have had USF and UTEP as kind of your quote unquote preseason games to get ready for conference play, and to only have one and say we'll just go ahead and do maybe a half, and I think we'll be good. I mean, all right, we'll see. We won't know as far as that cohesiveness and stuff is concerned for another couple of weeks when they do go on the road and they do play Tech. But I'm very curious to see if two quarters is enough. If that's all they're after all these months, two quarters of a game, that's all they need to keep going throughout the year.
Because I'm expecting to watch the Chiefs tonight, and there's a part of me that thinks they haven't tackled, like they just, you know, like this, whatever we get tonight in the NFL, there's been no preseason. So it's like, hey, y'all just go play. And I don't know that it's not 0-0 in the second quarter. I don't know. Like, I
think it's
going to
be
know.
Business as usual, dude.
You do?
I do. I really do. I think it's, I don't think you're going to see the effects of not having preseason games.
I mean, again,
those guys are so skilled and so talented. And it's the same way. I understand the point Almore is making, but you got a senior-led quarterback. Oh, yeah, I think Texas will be fine. I mean, the new
because
coordinator
this was a 7-5 team a year ago.
Yeah, but the offense was pretty good. I think the offense will be fine. The new coordinator thing worries me a little bit, not having a couple "quote unquote" preseason games or three non-conference games. But I think they'll be fine by the time they hit Tech. I don't know. Maybe tonight I'll be completely wrong. But I think Alex said he'd take the over. I don't even know what the number is, but I don't think it'll be a noticeable impact not having preseason games.
Because Jason, I think you're right, honestly. Like, if you made me bet, I would bet what you're saying. Alex, there's just a part of me, though, that when I look at – if we'd have said last year, hey, even going into the bowl game, no Devin Duvernay, no Colin Johnson, y'all go have fun. That offense wouldn't have been the same. And it's the first game that Sam Ellinger has played against another team. He's got no security blanket in Devin Duvernay. We don't know who the hell that guy is, but the guy that we thought it might be is not going to play. And, oh, by the way, I know what the early official word is on Jake Smith's hamstring. I got sirens in my head going off over that just in terms of, oh, God, like, that is
Jordan
not
Shipley.
An injury. That's an injury that anytime I hear minor, I think, like you think it's minor, and then 4 weeks later it was minor, and then it's no longer minor. I mean, Alex, what do you think? Like, I'm just saying personally, I won't be shocked. It's one of the reasons why when people were asking me if I thought Texas was going to score 50 points in the opener on Monday, I was like, I don't know, maybe high 30s, like maybe it's not 35-0 at halftime. Like, maybe this thing isn't, but if Texas is going to have the start, like, I don't know. Like, I'm caught in between. I feel like I'm being somewhat rational, and I feel like it's normally like a very much a fan attitude to be like, we're playing UTEP. The backups will get in the third quarter. Like, that's the stuff that we say every year, and it feels like for a decade that hasn't happened a lot.
Well, here's the thing, Ketch. If it doesn't happen, then it means that the expectations that we have for this team that have been largely shaped by the various betting markets and the, some of the various odds that are out there are, you know, should probably not be in line with what, if Texas doesn't come out and win this game by 40 points, as the books are saying, what is the line? Is it 40? Is it 35, 42? 40 points,
something 42 like that.
Points, a big line. But, you know, it's a big deal to say that Texas is 12-1 to win a national championship this year, right? So it's like if they don't come out and win by that, you know, maybe the books were over their skis on that 12-1 an initial offering. You know, I understand that they didn't have a preseason. They didn't have an offseason. Nobody else did. I mean, it's at least everybody is on even footing. The one thing that Texas doesn't have going its way is the fact that it has seven new coaches. But whenever you look at Oklahoma, they'll say, cry me a river. We have a brand new quarterback. You have your senior stud, you know? So it's like everybody's going to have, you know, very few teams are going to come into this season with senior quarterback play, you know, your best offensive lineman coming into his final season, you know, complete continuity among coaching staff and scheme. There, I'm sure that if you looked across the landscape of college football, there might be one or two fortunate teams that have all those things line up, but most aren't. And teams are going to have to navigate these kinds of things. If you can't come in and you can't dominate a team that everybody predicts you to dominate, that everything on paper says that you should be dominating, look at Jason's matchups. It's like, I mean, I don't see a way that Texas can spin it that no other team can spin it, because whenever you spin it like that, it just seems like an excuse.
Fair enough. I need to have my expectations for Texas flat out flexing some muscle and kicking some ass on Saturday. And I guess anybody that wants to jump in, Anwar, Alex, Dustin, Jason, like, I guess that's my thing. Like, Texas should show up, right? And flex some muscle and kick some ass. And I guess that's the part that I just haven't seen so much of in the last forever, that just assuming that happens just from a couple of days before the season starts, that just feels like the kind of thing that's gotten me in trouble in the last decade. You know, well, the whole you can dream big thing.
Yeah, I think this is a lot about UTEP, too. UTEP might be the worst Division I team in college football. Like, they're
damn, that bad?
Yeah.
They're rated dead last, Dustin, on CBS Sports preseason ranking out of
– Right, and they finished 126 out of 130 in Football Outsiders overall rankings last year. Like, they are terrible.
And they lost a lot of talent, and they're breaking in a new quarterback.
But they're undefeated.
Yeah. And their starting running back decided this week to opt out for the season.
Yeah, they're so bad. So, yeah, if Texas doesn't flex some muscle – Oh boy, it could be a long season for us writing about the Longhorns. But yeah, this UTEP's really, really bad. I don't know about that, but in my head all week I've had 52-10 in my head. So I'm expecting, you know, third quarter this game is completely out of hand, and there's all sorts of backups in there running around making plays, and Bijan Robinson's breaking some long runs and things like that.
And Hudson Card plays.
Yeah, fourth quarter, he should. Yeah. Casey Thompson gets his run, and then Hudson gets in there too.
52-10, Hudson Card gets the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Okay. Obviously, we will all have our predictions. I'm just curious, who's got Texas in the 50s this week? Okay, Dustin.
I lost you. Would you say who has Texas?
What? Who has Texas scoring 50-plus this weekend?
I do.
Yeah. I think they should.
Okay. Interesting. Let's hop into parting shots. I'm looking at the clock. We've been going almost an hour. Anwar, you got anything you want to lead us off with?
can I give you an email that I got from someone this week?
Sure.
You'll love this catch. It goes, here's some constructive criticism. Uh-oh. You really need to stop saying they got to, .. It's basic grammar that's taught around the fourth grade.
and it makes you look illiterate when you say it. It should be they have to or they've got to. If you want to be a serious journalist, then it starts with proper grammar. I want to say thank you for the heartfelt email. I won't say your name, but I want to say thank you for the heartfelt email. I appreciate all the jabs and the insults because that will inspire me to do better. Thank you.
Just be better, Anwar.
I
every day.
Yes.
Every day.
I will. I just love when people send you asshole things like that. Yeah, it is what like, their response. Sure,
put it a little bit, man.
Yeah, I mean, what's your response? Yeah, you know, you're just like, what do you say? So, you know, my response was, thanks for the feedback. Have a great week. You know, that's
all
it.
All you can do, dude. That's all you
yeah,
can
do. But I appreciate, yeah, I appreciate all types of criticism, constructive, and if you want to be a dick about it, so feel free.
Well, look, we have a long history of people working at orangebloods.com and receiving advice from people on how to improve themselves. So I'm curious if it was the same person I'm thinking of right now.
I'll send it to you. I'll let you know it is.
You guys even know what I'm referencing, or am I out on a limb right now? Alex, parting shot. You got some was rain,
that,
dude.
I did. Was that something about – I wouldn't even want to bring it up, but yeah. You're probably good. yeah, dude, I'm happy today. Got a bunch of rain. The bad news is with all that rain, I realized that French drain that I made behind my retaining wall doesn't work. So I got to dig that thing back up. That'll be a project for probably after football season. I don't think it's going to hurt anything too badly right now. But yeah, like 3.5-4 inches of rain yesterday. As I look out right now, I'm even getting a little bit of a drizzle. So, yeah, I can't say I complain. I even sent you guys, you know, people on the pod might want to know. I sent you guys videos of these fucking buzzards, right, from last week, and along with like side-by-side radar imagery of what was happening exactly on top of my house to try and prove to you that maybe I'm not as crazy as some people might have thought to have this cockamamie theory of mine, but. Definitely. I don't see how the rain could have missed this time. If the rain would have missed this time, I would have just gone down to jumped in the lake and tried to drown.
Is it bad that I started rooting against you getting rain?
Yes, that's bad. What's
wrong with you? We're going to have a good podcast meltdown.
It got to be so crazy that you were like last week you started talking about turkey buzzards and like flying into the sky. And
I could have literally been going insane.
I know, and there was a part of me that wanted to see what that might look like if you went all the way insane.
Yeah, a big parting shot. I don't know.
Because imagine if the last couple of days had happened and you'd showed up and there'd still not been any rain.
With everybody talking about the rain all over the hill country and filling up the island lakes, and it's just everywhere.
40 inches everywhere else.
Yeah, 4.5 inches to like 12 inches in Marble Falls. Yeah. I guarantee you, man, I would be in a very, very bad way. This would be a very different parting shot here on this. If I even made it back to this.
I'm sorry for rooting for that.
This weather is awesome. I can't believe how cool it is outside. It's in the low. I mean, whenever my daughter left for school this morning, she got, you know, she loves when the fall starts to come in because it means that her birthday's coming up, you know, and stuff like that. And so she gets real excited about it. So anytime she feels a little bit cool outside, she loves to get, you know, it was hilarious sending her off to school with what she wanted to bundle up in, even though it, you know, by the time the afternoon comes around, she's going to have to shed about 3 of those layers. But a lot of excitement around the house here about some cooler weather blowing in. It just seems to come at just the right time. We have NFL football tonight. My God. I'm going to go out. I'll have it turned on the outdoor TV and grill up some fajitas and just have an awesome, awesome night. Just being so thankful that, you know, football's back. They weren't able to, you know, it seems like, you know, certain entities, you know, tried to not let us have this. And we are, you know, we have football. I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that things stay on the rails with it. And it's just not, it isn't just NFL. Then we come into the weekend with this bit of cool weather and this reprieve from this horrible, dreadful heat that we've had in Texas with a little bit of rain. and some football and just a sense of, you know, a return to a routine. I was speaking of yesterday, returning to the routine, like I haven't got my hair. I've been cutting my own hair for like, well, technically I've been cutting my own hair for probably 18 years. There was, you know, there've been stretches where I've been so poor that I haven't been able to afford a haircut, but like since I kind of got, you know, married and had kids and stuff and been a more responsible adult with kind of real jobs, this has been the longest I've been without going to like a hair cutter to get my hair cut. Right. And so I finally went back into the barbershop yesterday to get like a haircut and get a little bit cleaned up. I'm unpausing my gym membership next week to just get back into the football routine where, you know, I'm doing the deep dig and I take my break at a certain time every day to go up there and clear the headspace and go, you know, go run at the gym and get in the steam rooms. I think I was going to ask you guys, steam rooms, if it's a private steam room, it seems like you should be safe from COVID inside that thing, right? It's so hot. Nobody else is in there with you. Doesn't that, I mean, you guys are all epidemiologists.
So when you say private, so here's
and virologists.
Alex, I steam. So I am a steamer. Okay. So yeah. You and I can have a quick little conversation about this. You do know how disgusting dudes are in the private steam or not. Like I'm more concerned almost about a private steam room because guys are nasty in steam rooms.
What the hell are they doing in those?
They're snotting all over the place.
Why? Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Snot rockets left and right. They're spitting.
My plan
guys
is
piss
my...
in there all the time. Like, come on, man. Like, are they sterilizing the steam room in between privates?
My plan is this. I'm gonna go and like at my gym. I run on a big wide open sort of indoor track anyway that has like the high intensity interval training sessions at the different areas of it. And you just run from one to the other. And so I don't really get around anybody or touch any of the same equipment and stuff like that. It's pretty wide open air. My idea was I'll go into the locker room wearing like a mask and I won't even step into a locker. I'll just take all my stuff back into one of the steam room units. And with my backpack, I was thinking about just taking some spray, some like clean shower sterilization spray and just spraying the whole thing down before I get in and getting the steam room going with some of the sterilization stuff in there. Right. So kind of giving my own clean, even if I can't depend on them to do it. Do you think that's safe? I think it's safe. I just need to get back to normal, man. It felt good.
I said a couple weeks ago, dude. I'm willing to take some chances that I wouldn't have taken a few months ago. So yeah, I say go for it, Alex.
I mean, my kids are going to school. My wife's back teaching school. She's wearing a mask. We're being careful. But man, football's back, a little bit of cool air. Like it's getting me fired up to get a little bit back to normal. I'm excited about it. So that's my parting shot. If any of you guys on Orange Bloods who really are virologists though, let me know if this whole steam room thing is a really bad idea. But I think I could sanitize it on my own.
If you have to sanitize it on your own, it feels like there's an answer there to your question that you're ignoring to me. But that's just me. I'm just saying, if you have to carry cleaning products into the steam room to make yourself comforted about being inside the steam room, maybe it's not time yet to go into the steam room.
Yeah, we'll see. Dustin? I guess we'll find out sooner or later.
Oh, Dustin, what do you got?
Well, we also found out this week, Ketch, that there's a Odell Beckham's also a big steamer as well. So,
Dustin, on fire!
Man, Dustin with the one-liners today.
It's cold air, man. Like Alex is saying, it puts you in a good mood.
I literally have no response to that. My part is,
I got a bone to pick with Bleacher Report, and
I love to hear this.
It's something that I think, like, you know, it negatively affects our industry and has people kind of, you know, just have mistrust with the media and stuff like that. So there's, you know, after the Rockets game two, where Russell Westbrook had a really, really bad game, he was awful. And, you know, the Lakers were successfully double teaming James Harden, getting the ball of his hand, so on and so forth. There's, you know, one of the Rockets writers that I follow, he might be an Orange Bloods member too. He actually asked Russell Westbrook specifically, like, hey, what's your role or what do you think you need to do or to adjust to when the Lakers double team Harden? Like, where should you be on the floor? That type of thing. And he said, he gave this quote about, hey, you know, I'm just running around. Like, I got to look at film and figure out, you know, where I need to be and how I need to play, you know, in reference to Harden getting doubled. And of course, Bleacher Report takes the quote, even though they have part of the question, they cut part of the question just to include a small snippet of it. And they basically just made it look like Russ, they said, oh, Russell Westbrook responds to his struggles. No, he wasn't responding to his struggles. He was responding to a specific question about what his role is, where he should be on the floor when James Harden gets double teamed. And of course, 700,000 people watch that video and it goes viral, and people are talking about, oh, Russell Westbrook admits that he's struggling and things like that. People like that just really piss me off. Like, you've got a responsibility as somebody in the media space. When you're taking those types of clips, you've got to represent them the right way, or else it sends the wrong message and nobody takes the time to go back and see what the right message is. So Bleacher Report, kiss my ass, because I'm tired of seeing all these big media outlets and people like that just being lazy and just going for the viral videos and the clicks instead of telling what the accurate story is.
You got anything else? You can tell them F you. You know, is this our last for charity podcast?
Yeah, Dustin, get it out of your system, dude.
Tell Bleacher Report what you need to tell them.
Wait, is this the last one?
I think so. Because hey, Jason Mel. Hurt old boy's feelings. Hey, and he's like, hey, you thought it'd be Mel. The last one.
Yeah, he said
fuck,
he stopped.
Fuck the Yankees and fuck the Lakers. How about there that?
Oh, wow. Apparently, right. He hates those two things worse than Bleacher Report.
No, Bleacher Report's just – I've already think less of them, but they can kiss my ass.
He hates the Yankees.
Keep him talking, dude. That charity money's going up. Keep him talking.
Oh, no.
There's clearly no controversy with those. I think we heard the F-bombs pretty clearly. There's no damn or hell. It's pretty easy.
We're going to have to start calling Jason Marley, you know, from Christmas Carol. Wasn't that – Scrooge's
Jacob,
buddy?
Jacob Marley. Yeah,
Jason Marley instead.
I've never seen that movie, dude. I couldn't even tell you.
Oh, you've never seen that?
I've never seen Miracle on Whatever Street. I've never seen any of
Whatever Street?
Whatever. I honestly don't know what it is.
Thank you, Anwar. That was a very underrated moment in the podcast there.
What is it? Is it 34th, 51st?
You know what it is.
I'm not lying. I don't know what it is.
You just said it, so you do know what it is.
Which 51st one?
51st Street.
51st, you said it. Okay. Well, I knew I had two options I was going to go with.
Not 51st Street, you dimwit.
It's not?
No.
I told you I don't know, dude. I literally do not know. I'm not making that up. I've never seen it. I've seen Christmas Vacation, if that makes up for anything.
How have you never seen Miracle on 34th Street? Like, it, you have to intentionally avoid it.
You do.
Like, you're, I don't you're, think you're, I've you're ever seen it.
Thank you. Thank you, Alex. So, we're busy getting laid.
You're on the same wavelength as Alex.
But I mean, Alex is that's explainable, right? Like, I think we can all understand.
I haven't even seen Star Wars or Batman.
Now you want to separate yourself.
Yeah. Now that's going too far.
We were explaining the implication before it completely sunk in, and then Alex sunk it in for us.
The same guy has never seen The Godfather, though, so I need to turn in my man card. So.
Yeah. Well,
you've never seen The Godfather either?
No.
Wow.
But we've had that conversation on the podcast.
But like I said, you put on King of Queens, and I'll watch for 40th time, I'll rewatch the same sitcom episode, so.
I've never seen an episode of King of Queens.
Oh, you're kidding me, dude.
I know.
I'm a sitcom junkie for just about any of them. So,
Jason, did you do a parting shot? You're last.
I didn't. And I don't have much. I'm just like everybody
just
else.
Go King of Queens.
Yeah, go King of Queens. Thankful for the cool weather. I'm so ready for football starting tonight. I think I'm weirdly more excited about this NFL season opener than I can remember being in a long time, man. I mean, I think I'm just starving for some NFL football. As Dustin said, my Yankees have been terrible. Finally got on a win last night, which is much needed. Interestingly, I've kind of getting sucked into the NBA playoffs here more and more, so I'm starting to enjoy that. Just enjoying some normalcy. I said it a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I told Alex, hey, go in that steam room, man. I'm ready to get on a plane. I think I almost got my wife talked into it. I'm trying to find an off week where Texas is off and maybe see if I can get her to get on a plane. I'm not throwing caution to the wind. Like Alex said, hey, I'm going to be smart with whatever I'm doing, but I'm just ready to have a little bit of normalcy in my life. And hopefully that takes a big step forward tonight with some NFL football. I'm looking forward to that.
I think the two of you guys should go on a cruise. YOLO. YOLO.
I would do it. I don't think my wife would ever get on a cruise. But I'm just talking like a 3-day trip to Port Aransas. So I don't even care. Dude, I honestly told Kristen, well, that wouldn't be getting on a plane. I'd like to get on a plane. I told her, I said, I don't even care where we go. You pick it and I'll go. I just don't care. As long as it's, you know, not going to break the bank or something. I saw that we could fly to Destin, Florida, $150 round trip. I'm like, man, let's go spend like, yes. And I'm like, let's go spend three. In fact, Omar was $150 and $99 for the second person, $250. And I'm like, hey, the week after OU, I'm assuming to still be beach weather. Texas is off. I'm like, let's fly there like on a Monday and just come back on a Thursday or Friday. Let's go do it for a few days. Just get, you know, go enjoy each other's company, get away from reality for a few days. And yeah, dude. So anyways, long story short, we'll see if it happens, but I've almost got her talked into it, I think, but not quite.
Monday through Wednesday, you have war room responsibilities.
Well, I'll do it. So sitting on the beach, on the balcony, on the beach or something. Hell yeah. My phone works from the beach. Yeah.
All right.
Well, you gotta go. That's a hell of a deal to go to Destin, man. That's a great deal.
And you love deals. I do love deals.
I do love deals. You're right about that.
That may be the deal that keeps on giving. Final parting shot for me. I'm going to echo something that Jason said. This will not be popular on orangebloods.com, but I'm going to say it anyway. The NBA playoffs are pretty great right now. I know it's not the hip cool thing to say. The NBA is doomed. And all I can tell you is, I kind of like the basketball in the bubble. I have not missed.
Even the playing field, I really like it.
I love it.
Every night's an adventure, man. I love it. Sorry to jump in your parting shop. It's great.
I watched last night's. Look, I got no skin in a Boston-Toronto game. I mean, that is typically exactly the kind of game that I would normally skip out on and go, I hate the Celtics. Don't want to see them win. I don't really have an emotional interest in Toronto. Let me go see what's on HBO. Instead, last night, I couldn't take my eyes off of it. The basketball was fantastic. The NBA has or ESPN or both team, like the combined partners have found a way to present quarantine basketball that I am completely okay with. In fact, my expectations for tonight are really high because it feels like I watch baseball and you notice the baseball when there's a ball hitting in the stands, but even baseball has found a way to kind of make the empty stands sometimes humorous and interesting. I'm fascinated by how football and the TV partners handle the television component of broadcasting football without the fans, because there are ways that you can make it better. There are ways that you can make little improvements. And I watched it last night on ESPN, some of the camera angles that they're able to take because there aren't seats that they have to worry about. They can do all kinds of weird kind of eye level angles that we wouldn't normally get. I want to see how the NFL's packaged if they eliminate the stands and the fan component out of it. How much closer to the game can they take us? Would they be willing to allow us to go? If they can come within half, they can do 50% of what the NBA has done to make its product as watchable as possible, given the circumstances it's working with. I think we're going to end up finding some things about the way football in the NFL is broadcasted on TV that we might end up liking and want to keep. I guess eventually the NBA will go back to fans. I'm just telling you, I don't care if they do. And on that note, I just wanted to say one last time, thank you to Ticket City. They will be back. They will be our ticket partner whenever there's a ticket industry for them to be able to work with us on. It just kind of defeats the purpose for them, I guess, at this point, for us to send people to Ticket City when there aren't tickets really for them to move at this point. So thanks. And we will see you guys soon. And we will talk to you guys soon on next week's podcast, which isn't named yet completely. I haven't quite finalized that, but we'll do something. And until then, here's to Texas hitting 60 on the scoreboard on Saturday. And everybody just being happy for a week. Later.